This morning I've got a sort of a tricky subject. I want to talk about something that most of us try to avoid. We find it in Matthew chapter 23. And all through that chapter, he's got one subject on his mind, Jesus does. He talks about hypocrites. All through the whole chapter talks about hypocrites. But I want to read for your hearing this morning just the first 12 chapters. I'm coming out of Matthew chapter 23, out of the NIV version of the Bible. And it reads, if you'll stand, you already stand. Then Jesus said to the crowd and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seats, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to help move them. Everything they do is for men to see. They make their periacles wide and their tassels on their garment long, for they love the place of honor at the banquets and most important seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeted in the marketplace and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi. For you have only one master, and all of you are brothers. Do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. Nor do you be called teacher, for we have one teacher, he is the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humble, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Again, I want to talk from the subject hypocrites. I see some of y'all looking at me real strange. Well, asking yourself, why you got to talk about hypocrites? But don't be looking at me strange. Look at Jesus strange. Because Jesus is the one that brought up the subject. So I'm just talking about what Jesus talked about. He spent a whole chapter talking about hypocrites. Now, for those who pretend they don't know, I'll give you a definition. Fact is, nearly everybody knows what a hypocrite is. But for the record, let's cut down on the confusion. According to Webster, not me. A person whose behavior contradicts their stated beliefs or their feelings. A person who puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion. Practical example. That person who hurries to church on Sunday but raises all kinds of, well, I won't say that. Let's just say they exhibit a whole spectrum of unholy behaviors during the entire week. Y'all don't look around. Somebody might be looking at you. You see, you might be a hypocrite if you can't stand that person in the daytime, but you can't get enough of them at night. You might be a hypocrite. You might be a hypocrite if you demand of others that which you cannot do yourself. You might be a hypocrite if you condemn the actions of others and yet you want to do the very same actions. You just might be a hypocrite. Truth be told, all of us have been hypocrites. At some point in our lives, that we had an old nature. And that old nature was nothing less than hypocritical. Everybody has done something that's hypocritical. And if you belong to a group, I know you've done something hypocritical. Because groups are a little bit more hypocritical than individuals. There are things we will do as a part of the group that we will never do as an individual. Yes, groups are a little more hypocritical than individuals are. And all of this would be acceptable. We could deal with all of it if we were still in our old life, if we still had that old nature dominating what we do. That would be totally acceptable. But it's totally unacceptable now. It's unacceptable in the new life that Christ has made for us. He does not demand that we be hypocritical. He demands that we be upright and straightforward. See, we should have learned something during the transition. As Paul says, when I was a child, I walked like a child. I talked like a child. I reasoned, I thought like a child. But when I knew better, when I became a man, I put those childish things behind me. When we became new creatures in Christ, we should have put all those hypocritical attitudes behind us and focus on all that is Christ-like. Every act of hypocrisy is a wedge separating us between the world and Christ. First thing I want you to pay attention to this morning is that hypocrites are primarily promoting themselves. You don't find a hypocrite running out promoting other folks. They don't do that. Verses 23, 1 through 5. Jesus turns his attention from the Pharisees and begins to address the disciples and the crowd, stating, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat," meaning that they're somehow successors to the word of God to be taught, that they are to represent God and his word. You see, God people need leaders to teach God's word, to help the people interpret this word correctly, and to apply it to our daily lives. Jesus points out that much of what they taught was correct. Said that they were literally on target. And he encouraged the crowd to do what they were asked to do. But there's a problem. It seems that they wanted to add a little something to the word of God. And that's the way most of us are. Just telling the truth. Most of us always want to add a little something to the word of God. Why? Because we're still hypocrites. we still want some attention. There's something in us that still cries out, look at me. See what I'm doing. But that ain't how it's supposed to be. God wants us to focus on God. But God says, add nothing to his word, nor take away anything. You see, it's through these man-made laws that the Pharisees accused him, that Jesus accused the Pharisees of being hypocrites. Even back in Isaiah, Jesus says Isaiah was right. He was right when he prophesied about you saying that the people, that these people honor me with their lips, but with their hearts, they're far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. They introduce burdens. Burdens of obedience that are impossible for the people to carry. They make the point of saying, Jesus said that they place heavy burdens on their shoulders. Now, if you're into physics, you know the shoulders is the place that carry the largest load. And he says they place heavy burdens on the people. And yet those same burdens, they would not lift their finger.
Come on.
One of the weakest parts of the body. They wouldn't lift a finger to help them. It shows you just how out of place these Pharisees are. People learn by example. The Pharisees had the attitude of do what I say and not as I do. Well, I come to tell you this morning, that ain't the way it is. We got to learn to practice what we preach. You see, it's only by practicing that we demonstrate to other people that we are serious about what we preach. Anybody can preach anything. But all preaching ain't the same. We learn how serious you are, not by what you preach, but by what you do. The old preachers used to say, I'd rather see a sermon than listen to one. Because in the seeing, we demonstrate our commitment. I remember raising my boys. We're fortunate to have two boys. And the oldest one communicates a little better than the younger one. The older one used to say, Daddy, I didn't pay any attention to what you told us. He said, I looked and see what you did. Because what you did was important to you. Not what you said, but I followed the examples that you did. People don't care what you say. But they will pay attention to what you do. The practice of their religion was to recognize man rather than in the service of God. They had respect of a person when they should have had no respect of person. They loved the special seats in the house where everybody could see them. Theirs was a pride-seeking ministry when Jesus calls us to have a prideless ministry. We got to decide which side we're going to be on. We're going to be on the prideful side or the prideless side. See, if you go with the prideful, you get your rewards down here on earth by people saying, oh, you look so good. You did so well. But if you go on the proudless side, you won't get your rewards down here. You'll get your rewards in heaven. You see, when you get to heaven, Jesus gives you double for your trouble. You get so much more benefits. Your benefits are even out of this world. But you got to put aside your pride. And that's hard for many of us to do, especially us hypocrites. We like the limelight. We like to be seen. You see, honor God and he will raise you up. Verses 5 through 7. Everything they've done is done for men to see. They take their phylacteries and wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love places of honor at the banquet and the most important seats. Hypocrites are not only unsympathetic to the needs of others. They tend to have this thing called insecurity. They constantly advertise their spirituality and their status just to feed their fragile egos. They substitute arrogance for insecurity. They make sure they get the attention they need, that they strap on these extra large phylacteries. They put them on their arms and even put them on their foreheads just to show everybody that they are prayed up. They wear long blue and white tassels just to make sure everybody sees them. They demonstrate their spirituality by praying on the corners in public. Everybody say, look at them. He must be a godly man. He's sitting out there praying on the corner for everybody to see him. But God says, goes into your closet to pray. You see, when you pray in public, you get your rewards in public. But when you go to God in your private closet, when it's just you and him, it demonstrates a sound relationship. And we don't need religion. We need a relationship with God. That's what you need. Because when times get tough, religion ain't gonna save you. When the road gets hard and difficult, religion goes its own way. But when you have a relationship with God, God reminds you that he knows how to take care of what belongs to him. No matter how difficult the road may be, God can take care of you. You need a relationship with God. The places of honor and the important seats were reserved for the most spiritual. Those with the highest authority, the biggest title, the greatest wisdom. They want to be called teachers and rabbis. But the scribes and the Pharisees fill neither of these roles honestly. And Jesus says something important in verse 11. He says, the greatest of you. The greatest of you will be a servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Servants don't take the spotlight. You don't find servants in spotlights in high position. They work underneath. They do the groundwork. You never see them. And when you do see them, you don't see them. That'll, you'll get that in a little bit. Because they work undercover. Their desire is not to be seen, but to be effective. Servants desire to be effective. And Jesus says that the greatest of them will be your servant. If you want to be great, what must you do? Jesus was great not because of exalting himself. Jesus was great because he was the greatest servant. He gave and 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 he gave till you were saved.
Amen. That's right.
He didn't take. And by all rights, he could have, for he is King of Kings.
Yes, amen. That's right.
He is Lord of Lords.
Yes.
But he gave. He stretched them wide. He gave. He hung and he died. He gave. If you want to be great, you must first be a servant. Proverbs 25:7 even reminds us that it is better to be asked up than be asked down. You see, when man elevates you, he can bring you down also. But when God elevates you, can't nobody bring you down. Wait on God for whatever you're praying for. Wait on God. Because when God does it, it is done right. The Pharisees had a superficial love for the people, but Jesus had unconditional love for his people.
Yes,
God is love. But God ain't blind. He sees everything you do. Nothing gets away from him. The old folks say he's looking and booking all the time. And everybody stands before him at the judgment. Grandma used to tell me all the time, boy, if you make your bed hard, you got to sleep in it. And to use the old phrase of James Brown, he said, Papa don't take no mess. You can't get away from God. Everything you do is being watched and scrutinized. Jesus expressed his grief and his regret and his distress through a series of woes. Y'all know what a woe is? The war is a condemnation. See, the Pharisees thought they could get away with things, just as we do. We think if we do something and nobody's around to see it, that we won't pay for it. But that ain't the case. Jesus, in 23:13-29, there is a whole list of woes. He says, "Woe to the teachers of the law and to the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You do not enter, nor will you let those who are trying to enter, enter." See, let me put it in another way. It's one thing if you don't want to eat, but it's an entirely different thing to prevent others from eating. Just because you don't want to go to heaven, why should you prevent other folks from going to heaven? The real reason is misery loves company. As grandma used to say, that's just ugly. Jesus don't like ugly. He ain't crazy about pretty. But he sure don't like ugly. We've got to go through life with a Jesus heart. We got to have a Jesus heart if we want to be successful. You see, only a Jesus heart will get you where you want to go in life and afterlife. He says, "Woe, you teachers of the law and you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel all over land and sea to win a single convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are." That ain't right. He was raised in hell before you even found him. And now you want to teach him how to raise more hell. You go out of your way to find somebody to convert, and when you find them, you teach them how to be more hell raisers. That don't make sense. He said, woe, you blind guides. You say if anyone swears in the temple, it means nothing. But if you swear by the gold of the temple, he is bounded by that oath. You blind men, he says, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? He who swears by the temple swears by it and the one who dwells in it. You see, the temple without a godly presence is just another building. If God was not in this place, we'd just be a group of sinners gathered together, having a sinner's convention. But God makes the difference. God makes the difference. God creates the spirit. You gotta let God in your life. The temple without God's presence is just another building. And we must show ourselves approved. We've got to study. You got to know for yourself. You got to know what's important and what's not important. God and our relationship with God is important. Yeah. Yeah. Never put anything secondary to your love and your relationship with God. Woe to the teachers in the law of the Pharisees. You hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spice, your mint, your dill, your cumin. But you have rejected the more important matters of the law. Justice. Mercy. Faithfulness. All of these things you make secondary. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, he says. You strain the gnat, but you swallow the camel. We must stop majoring in the minor and start minoring instead of majoring in the major. You can be love and you can be faithful at the same time. You can show justice and show mercy at the same time. They are not mutually exclusive. They go together. Mercy flows out of love. God first loved us. Then he showed us mercy. What a God we serve. Woe to your teachers of the law and the Pharisees. You hypocrites, he says. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside is full of greed and self-indulgence. First, clean the outside of the cup or the dish. Then the outside will also be clean. We worry too much about our appearance. And we neglect our spiritual health. Jesus is concerned about our physical health, our spiritual health. Because he knows we're going to get new bodies anyway. Take care of the inside. The inside is what's important, not the outside. Because that's what it takes to get you over. And Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. Imagine your Lord and Savior weeping. Weeping over you. Oh, Jerusalem, he says. Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those who sent you, how often have I longed to gather you, your children together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under its wing. But you were not willing. He said, you were not willing to be loved by Jesus. You were not willing to be cared for by Jesus. Imagine that. The same Lord who saved your soul, you don't want to be cared for. I don't know if you guys know about chicks and hens. I ain't going to tell that one, baby. Got me off my thing. Oh, I know. Y'all ever been around here? You've been to see. You know how hens are. We call them chickens. But if you ever mess with a little chick, and I mess with lots of them, but if you ever mess a little chick, that hen will raise up. That hen will show you all of her spurs. And she will come after you with everything she got.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus says, I want to be the hen that protects you. He says, I want to gather you under my protective wings. And under those wings, I will use all of my power. All of my power to take care of you. All Jesus wants to do is love you. All he wants to do is love you. Let me get out of here. In conclusion, Jesus confronted the leaders of his day. Not to the sinners in the streets, but to the scribes and the Pharisees, to the religious big shots who claim to represent God. And he does the same thing today. He exposes hypocrisy. He calls on people to genuine worship. He warns about the coming judgment. They had religion, but they didn't have a relationship with the living Savior. They played church, but they never lived church. They worshiped, but they didn't worship God. They worshiped themselves and their petty laws and things. They looked religious on the outside. But on the inside, they were empty. And many of us are in the same position today. We attend church. We know the word. We carry our Bibles. We do religious things, but our hearts are far from the Lord. Jesus calls us to be in a state of readiness. He says, if you are to be rapture ready, we have some work to do. Some of us got to start living a genuine life of faith, a genuine life of humility, and a genuine life of obedience. There's only one way. One way. Either you're playing church or you're going to be rapture ready. Which one will you want to be? I want to be rapture ready. I want to give everything I got to the Lord. I don't want any of you thinking that I'm a hypocrite, that I play church. I try to live a life that demonstrates the God in me. And I invite you to do the same. The old folks are right. I'd rather see a sermon than just hear a sermon. Yeah. God bless you and God keep you this morning.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.